You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. It is another day of life, and in life there is always hope. And sometimes we don't feel so much that way, and we have things that happen in our lives, and we just try and give it, we try to give it to God. We try to do what we know to do. We try to think it through. We try to feel it through. Most of us, when it comes down to it, just want to avoid pain. We don't want that dam to break. We do not want to have the flood of sadness and regret and remorse and second guessing and difficulty. It hurts. And most of us want to avoid pain. Pain is something we're not going to avoid. When we tend sometimes, though, to experience those negative emotions, just the floodgates open up, but yet we don't have a real instigating cause. And we look to our environment and we try to see, why do I feel this way? And we may not do that consciously, why I feel this way. But what we might be doing is either if we're sinking into a depression, which is an important, almost an epidemic in our society to a degree, I want to today I want to delineate for you depression and just having a bad day, the at-large factors that can contribute to depression, the internal factors that can contribute to depression, the past factors that can contribute to depression. I want to bring all these up to your awareness. And then I want to give you some things that you can do for each one of these categories. Now, before we even begin, I'm going to go back, since we are talking about something that is classified as a mental illness, I do want to go back and revisit the little caveat that I am not giving you medical advice. I cannot give you medical advice other than to seek out help if you feel that you're pervasively in some area of life, whether it's that you can only sleep an hour a night and you're up and then you crash, you're up, you're down, which may be bipolar, you're having huge difficulties in all of your relationships. The common denominator, finally, you're starting to realize is you. Another indication, it might be time to seek out some help. Perhaps you're in an abusive situation to where you're just so down, it's hard to even get your mind together because you do not know what to do. A lot of people want to hang on for their kids. I know what I'm going. I've heard this 3 times this week. I'm going to hang on until my child reaches 18. And then I'm going to divorce. Well, that is not necessarily a great way to go. It's a plan a lot of people think makes sense. Think they're helping their children out. But when that axe comes down, it's going to come down, whether the child's 22. Different times, it's more crucial, yes. But it's still going to be a difficult thing. So you might need to get help with that. You do need to get help with that. So when you're listening to this program, we're going to bring in the external factors, the weather factors, what we know in science, what certain studies show, the spiritual aspect, who you are, where you came from. All those things are important. And oftentimes, when you seek help, you're funneled into a little pathway. You're depressed, here's a pill, with no concept of where does that depression come from? How can we better decrease that depression? So I want to see what we can do today to go to the more everyday types of depression, the things that can be handled on your own. And then we'll get to the little more serious. And what I mean by serious is where you are more dysfunctional, where you really can't seem to get a motivation to do anything, where you don't really want to bathe. Those are times where those are big cues. If there's things like you just see yourself getting up, but you don't get up. If you have, you know, just this, everything is such a ridiculous effort and you see no hope in the future. These are danger signs, and you need to get. Sometimes someone is so down in that place, they cannot even motivate themselves to get help. So you need to help them get help. Sometimes you need a whole intervention. You literally need to pick them up and take them, or you need to, and I don't mean that you need to forcibly take someone, or sometimes you have to go the legal route. If someone is so depressed that they're suicidal, you can get a mental inquest warrant, or in different states, whatever state you live in, it might be called something different. But it's basically where you believe the person is a danger to themselves or to others, and they can be brought to a psychiatric ward. And no one likes to do that. And actually, as a psychiatrist or a training psychiatrist, we don't like to see that, because it's tough. It's hard. For someone who feels like they're unjustly brought to the attention of psychiatry. And then there's so much hurt and anger and guilt by a family member who might do that. And some people abuse the system. They do that as a matter of revenge or to get rid of someone. It doesn't really work that way. You can't just lock somebody away. There's usually what's called a 72-hour hold. In different states, it may be a little different as far as the time. And if the psychiatrist, after due diligence and discussing things with their family, with your family members, or the person's family members, or their associates, or work, or whoever chose to bring them in, whoever gave the reason that they really believe, this is the reason I believe this person is a danger to themselves. After the psychiatrist does as much investigation as they can, if they've done something that might have infringed on the law, you do all the investigation. And after a period of time, it's deemed that it was just frivolous, the person is released. So you're not just locked away. And a 72-hour hold, you don't necessarily have to be there for the whole 72 hours either. But that's how long legally you can be held, so that, or a person can be legally held. But it gives the person time, it gives the psychiatrist time to take a look in a caring, dispassionate way to say, do you need this help? And they will look at the person. They will see and read what the person who took out the mental inquiry, the family member, would talk to them, and they have to give a reason why they chose to take this route. But then the focus is on the person. So don't be afraid of these things. Sometimes it can save a life. Sometimes you're worried it's going to cause chaos. Sometimes it does. But you have to act on the side of caution. Always err on the side of caution. Err on the side of safety and err on the side of life. If the person is in danger and you're really, really that concerned, then you need to do something drastic. Times calls for drastic measures. You really need to do something. And if you have to do that, you have to do it. And I know it's hard. It's really, really hard. And it's really, really difficult. I have not, except for people who abuse the system, And that's why it's a 72-hour hold, as I said. That's why it's a 72-hour hold, because people do abuse the system, so we don't want anyone there that's not supposed to be there. I haven't talked to one person who was not abusing the system, and that's rare that people abuse the system, who did not feel a sense of pain, anguish, guilt. They felt like they were betraying their loved one. They just felt awful. But when your loved one gets help and you see how close, and it can be verified and affirmed, yes, this person was close, this person was depressed, or they were medically ill and no one caught it, you'll be happy you did, because you save a life. So back to the thesis statement. This program does not give you direct advice, but I do implore you always to seek help and guidance of those around you. Seek good professionals. And if you don't feel you're getting what you need from your professional, seek another one. But you can start out, because safety first, err on the side of life, err on the side of safety. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the kinds of depressions that you can find yourself in, what you might do about the lighter ones, and how we might align that a bit with our Lent and our sacrifices. When is too much suffering too much and not really a holy thing, if you're condemning yourself? And how to perhaps use simplicity as a way to help you out of the doldrums. Well, this is Dr. Michelle, and we will see you on the other side of the break. You may call or text 573-4BREAD-4.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. You are welcome to text. You're welcome to call, and you can remain anonymous. You can also email me at dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So the different types of depression we're going to get into, just give you a basic overview. Because it can be something, again, I've always said, the medical condition is something we often overlooked. We look nutritional deficiencies. We hardly have any true, frank nutritional deficiencies anymore. However, we are getting to, in our modern society, getting to revisit some that we never had a problem with before. There was a time where everyone worked out in the sun or walked in the sun or somehow was getting into the sunshine for some reason or another. They had to go to a bus, they had windows in their workplaces, or they worked outside, spent a lot of time outside or going walking, and they got enough vitamin D. These days we don't do that. We're always inside, we're always with the computer, we rarely go outside, we have our breaks indoors, we have UV tinted windows, and our skin converts sunlight, or when our sunlight hits the skin, then it catalyzes a reaction. We convert it into our vitamin D. That's how we get it. It's really amazing. But now we've really shut off that process, and vitamin D is essential. So that's just one little example. But before we get into that, I want to give you a suggestion. And this suggestion is, no matter where you are on the spectrum, it's not a cure. So again, this whole discussion today always has as its base, get professional help if you need professional help. There's something, though, that is used in various ways for lifting mood or for becoming more focused or for reducing anxiety. Many different ways. It's talked about many different ways. But it has with it many benefits and many side effects, good side effects. And that is practicing simplicity. This ties in really great with Lent. Practicing simplicity. Now, if you, either through depression or through your nature, are a disaster mess, and I don't want to call you a disaster because nobody's a disaster, but let's say you look around your house and you're an Einstein, or you're just depressed and you just can't clean out that bowl. You can't. And as I mentioned Einstein because reports from people who would go into his home would come back that he had clutter everywhere. He couldn't open his mail. It just, everything was a mess. A lot of people are like that. Some people are the opposite. There's no hard and fast rule for a genius or someone who is possessed by their genius, as the Greeks used to say, or the Romans used to say. If your place is a mess, it doesn't mean that you have to spend week after week figuring out how to organize everything. It would be great. That would be a great thing to do. Throwing out the clutter, throwing out the things that you don't need. And we'll get into that at some point on some ideas of how to do that. I need to take them up myself. And I don't always, because I'm one of those people that just, I don't really collect things, but I write something, I read something, I get interested in something. I might have stuffed animals and philosophy and medicine and books on dragons and personal writings and something halfway fixed, let's say an iPhone, or getting in the process of wrapping a cord or something like that. Maybe I'll be on one table, on one surface. So maybe my dog's ball. And pretty soon you can't see this, the top of the surface. So some of you know that feeling really well. Here are some suggestions. If this is your environment and you are just desperate, it is really good to clear that clutter. And maybe that can be a Lenten thing if you are physically and mentally up to it. But let's say you're not. Let's say you really just can't deal with it. Perhaps you can call someone in to do it for you. And that can be a nice jump start. But if you can't do that, some simplicity, or to focus on something. Even if it's very cold where you live and there are no flowers and there is no greenery, perhaps there is something outside of your window you can focus. Even if you took breadcrumbs and you threw them out every day, if you didn't have any way to get bird seed, and allow birds to come and see your, come to your patio or come to wherever you might go out in your yard or somewhere close, and marvel in their simplicity. Marvel in that they didn't come driving vans, that they didn't come with their RVs or their antennas or their iPads or their phones. The simplicity is that they are what God intended them to be. And they have their own clothing. They're protected from the cold. They have predators. They have troubles. But they're down there with the food because that is what they do. So look at something like that, or look at if you have flowers, if you look at the nature, just marvel in its beauty and its simplicity. Even if you are looking at a hillside cluttered with, and it's not clutter, it's beautiful, weeds and intentionally planted plants and all different kinds of plants. Just take a look. This will help air out your brain and bring you back to simplicity. Another thing that will help you, no matter what level you are, and this is really being studied now. Science supports this. Get off the internet. Get off the internet. Put down the phone. It'll be very difficult at first. It is like breaking a habit that is so common now. A very high percentage, studies have shown a very high percentage of people and women very strongly associated with mood And men, same thing, because it fuels their anger, gets them into that anger mode, that competitive mode. Women, it's a whole different way that they get involved, but it's still a hook. But it puts you face to face with things that you are completely powerless against. Correct? Right? Think about it. You're powerless. You see something on Facebook, you're powerless. But to get those bad feelings triggered in you, either you see something, you, especially if you're depressed, because part of that is guilt, and guilt, high levels of guilt comes with a lot of depression. So you look at this and hopelessness and helplessness, and you see somebody putting out their pictures on Facebook, or you see an Instagram, or you look at YouTubes on how to succeed, and or you look at on how to get out of this or how to get out of that, or you're just looking at news feeds, things that are perpetually just going to feed and fuel your feelings of isolation, helplessness, powerlessness, guilt, low self-esteem. That's all part of depression. Even if you were a person who didn't have a lot of self-esteem to begin with, part of depression is low self-esteem. And part of some people get out of this feeling of depression rather than actually dealing with what might be at the core. They get out of it by excitement. And that's what sometimes high risk-taking behavior, getting that infusion, an emotional affair, a physical affair, that's where they get the kick from pornography or some kind of drug, something to just like shock you out of that feeling. And then it becomes where you sink down if you don't get that fix. So we don't want to go there. And one way to retreat, this is a time in our world, never before. Some of you don't really grasp the never before. Some of you do, because there are some of you who have lived in the time where you couldn't just press a button and log on to porn or log on to Amazon or log on to infinite ways to braid your hair. And that can keep you occupied. There's nothing wrong with a little distraction. However, it tends to be frustrating and leaves you empty at the end of it. And especially one study after another is coming out about the emptiness and the hollowness and the low self-esteem and the depressive actions that occur by virtually voyeuristically looking into someone else's life as they post it to be looked at on Facebook, because it is never real. We all know that. We know it, just like we know, yes, I am going to die. But you really don't get it. None of us really do until we're close. It's just part of nature. Thank you, God. It's part of nature, human nature, to know it in your intellect, but not really know it, because you're here and you're alive now. But when you log on to Facebook, when you log on to, you do your Instagram and you do your Snapchats and you get all these little, you follow Twitter and you get all these little sound bites, and it sounds like everybody's on the move and they've got purpose and they've got excitement and they've got energy, and you're there in the same room with your eyes glued, not moving your eyes very much, sitting most likely in some way, or having your mind on 20 different things while you're doing it, maybe even your own child in your room, you're actually fostering the very symptoms that I will discuss on the other side of the break with you of the different types of depression. All right, I am your host, Dr. Michelle. Grab your coffee, take a breath, look out your window. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live, 573 4BREAD 4. We are indeed live. You never know what you're going to get during our live broadcast. Barks of my dog, Mozart, or my distraction to something happening outside as I gaze out this window. Or I could be coughing, who knows? Or you'll hear me like not finding things I knew I had. So when we're looking at the different kinds of depression, let's take a look and let's see if you feel any of these things. All right, so first of all, the most important thing that you need to realize is that depression is not just feeling sad or blue or down. These are natural feelings, the ebb and flow of all life, daily life. You can feel great at some point in your day and just kind of down and dreary, gloomy, at the end of the day or the beginning of the day or the middle of the day. Or you all of a sudden are walking, feeling great, and something just, you know, flips on your brain and you think about something sad. This is who we are. This is our nature. So love it, embrace it. Know it's okay. Contrary to popular belief, you do not have to walk around with your ponytail swinging and you're feeling really good, looking fabulous, and loving life all the time. That's not the normal state. We'd like to think it is, but it's not the normal state of life. We want it to be. And when we got down from these pictures early on in the television advert, there was a time in medicine where you were not allowed. Pharmaceuticals were not allowed to advertise on television. Doctors were not allowed to advertise on television. They were actually not allowed. They were forbidden. And there is some wisdom there. Because we all imitate what we see on the screen. A great, I don't even remember what party he was from, but he was running for president. His name was Paul Simon. And I had the privilege, I was in Iowa going to school, and I had the privilege of actually having Paul Simon in my living room. And I really didn't know anything about politics, but it was during the Iowa caucuses. And he came and gave a little talk to maybe about 20 or 30 people that I had crammed in this little space. And he said at that time, so this was way back, this was 20 some years ago, actually more than 20 years ago, my gosh. So much more than 20 years ago. So he was talking about the arts, and he was talking about how we need to really watch what we put out on the screen. And he was talking about the conventional wisdom, the kind of mantra that it really doesn't make any difference, that we're not influenced by the stuff we see on television. We're not influenced by the things we see on the screen. We're not influenced by, I don't think there was a Netflix then, but it would be the same Netflix or any of the YouTubes we might see. We're not influenced by that. When we're sitting there pumping our gas, for heaven's sakes, I get so annoyed. Start pumping your gas and you get some kind of a why is it on there? Why do you think we want to see that? I don't want to see it. Whatever it is blasting at me that moment, it is not interesting to me. I do not want to see it. I want to pump my gas, think about my own thoughts and move on. But what he said was, if you understand that a company, a multi-million or billion-dollar company, then it was in the millions, now they're billions, would spend millions and millions of dollars. And then they were limited to 30 seconds, maybe a minute. But a 30-second to a minute commercial, that they would spend millions of dollars to hire psychologists and to hire marketers for 30 seconds of your time on the screen, what makes you think that an hour of programming is not going to influence you? Of course it influences you. The more that you see it, like you fold it in like in a recipe. You know how you're supposed to fold in egg whites at certain recipes? You just fold those in rather than just beat them in. You fold them in lightly and they get usurped into the main ingredients in just such the perfect way to give the perfect product. Same thing. You have a drama, a sitcom, anything that has the interaction between different people, and you use humor or you use just a given, that a certain irresponsible behavior, let's say sexually irresponsible behavior, or euthanasia, or abortion, that it just gets thrown in there, just folded in without making it the highlight or the focus. If you don't think that's going to influence you, you are mistaken. MRIs show it, studies show it, PET scans show it, surveys show it. And the proof is in the money. You log on to Campaign for a Commercial-Free Childhood, and they will give you all the studies that will make your hair stand on end. The kinds of things that are said in the boardroom, the way that these very highly paid marketers will funnel into you to get you to buy something or like something or accept something or reject something. It's just the way we go. So when you're looking at all these different things on your screen, they are affecting you. Know that. You may have a withdrawal period if you get away from some of the social media. But if you do it little by little, start today, put it aside, turn it off, go to simplicity. And if your simplicity is that you're not going to like make chaos out of your 4-bedroom house, but you can just look out the window, do that. So what are some of the warning signs of depression? So it's not just feeling bad or blue or sad or like you don't want to speak in front of other people or embarrassed because you're getting up in front of the group. That's not depression. But it is characterized by an overwhelming from all the different sources we can get them, medical, psychological, loss, overwhelming, daily, pervasive through your day, that you have to climb over it or force yourself over it, of hopelessness, worthlessness, emptiness, low self-esteem, guilt, not seeing a future, complete helplessness. You often will feel like the world is closing in around you. So not everyone who is experiencing depression will have all those signs. So don't say, well, I don't feel that. And the severity varies from person to person. So you may not feel like crying down in the dumps. Maybe you can hold your job. Doesn't mean you're not depressed. Some people are just almost otherworldly in the way they can be very animated and very happy and all an inspiration to others. And we know this when we see sometimes the lives of certain celebrities who we say, well, they're acting, but they're able to be animated in a certain given situation, a social situation, or if they are acting or when they're making people laugh, or let's say they're going to help other people. They volunteer, they go in to see the elderly, and they're just happy, cheery, and they have all this energy, but then they deflate. That's also a kind of depression. So the severity is different. And so sometimes it's pretty clear around with your other people around you that you've changed or that you might be suffering depression, but sometimes you yourself cannot see it. That's why, go back to the first part of the program. That's why sometimes we need to help our people. We need to spur them on and or get them, or sometimes even make the appointments for them. Really help them out in any way we can. So here are some of the warning signs. It's a persistent, sad, and anxious, because anxiety and depression go hand in hand. You rarely have one without the other. But it's a persistent, sad, anxious, or empty mood. You feel just either so down all the time or completely negative all the time, or you just find yourself, you'd rather stare. you don't have interest in anything, in hobbies or activities you used to have, in sex. You have no interest in sex. You have no, that doesn't come from other reasons. There are lots of reasons you may not have interest in sex, but this is, these are changes that happens in you. Things that were once enjoyed, hobbies, activities, shopping even, anything. You get fatigued. You feel slow and heavy, more heavy, decreased energy. You can't concentrate. You have a very difficult time making decisions. This is another thing. You feel sometimes, if you're a little bit older, you think, well, maybe I'm just starting to lose my memory. I've seen people in depression be misdiagnosed for Alzheimer's disease if they're of a certain age. And they're put on medication for dementia when they don't have dementia. They're severely depressed. Now, when we come back from the break, we'll talk about what happens with your sleep patterns as well. What happens with your appetite and your weight? What happens with your thoughts? What happens with the rest of your even paradoxical thoughts, where you might be a little hyper, a little bit extra edgy and irritable. So we'll talk about those on the other side of the break. Then we'll also talk about some of the types, why you might feel that way, and then what you may do about them. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. Please join me on the other side of the break, 573-4BREAD-4, if you'd like to text and or call.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You are with me, Dr. Michelle Live, walking this road together as we do every single day and trying to ask the animals, for they shall teach you, listen to the earth and it will speak to you. The fish of the sea will inform you. Job 12:7. In all of our afflictions, we have the medicine of God's earth right in front of us. Both things that we ingest and both things that we look at with our eyes, just right here in front of us. And we have so many lessons in front of us. It just, we have to have eyes to see. And sometimes that's part of our prayer, isn't it? Eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to discern. So today we're talking about depression. This is our last segment, so I want to get into this. Let's finish up some of these symptoms. Now, this is pervasive, not just happening today. This happens day after day after day. And many people with depression will tell you that it starts off, they feel that way. Then it's like, okay, tomorrow I'll be a little better, or I'll do this. They try different things, and it just keeps on. It persists. So it's persistent. And the definition is of like major depression has to be for at least 2 weeks, every single day or close to every day. But that is the guideline. So we talked about the persistent, sad, anxious, or empty mood, the feeling of hopelessness and helplessness and no thought of the future, or feeling like there isn't much of a future. This worthlessness is also part of it, really worthless. Like, I'm just worthless. I don't do anything right. I don't do what God wants me to do. I don't fulfill any of my gifts, my talents. I don't use my brain. I'll never get anywhere. All these hopeless and helpless and worthless feelings. Loss of interest in things that you liked. Let's say you just enjoyed looking at new hairstyles, or you have a certain artistic flair, or you like taking walks. So there's certain things that you particularly just you enjoy, certain books, and all of a sudden you have no interest. No interest in keeping yourself up. No interest in taking a shower, putting on your makeup. No interest in sex. Nothing. Now, if you're alone and you're not with anybody, and you're not, you know, you just are used to being alone, and you just say, well, gee, I don't have any interest in sex. Well, the interest is about if you have a partner right there with you, and someone that you, let's say you're married and you have someone that you have regular sexual contact with, and then all of a sudden, or over a period of time, there just isn't. There can be all kinds of reasons for that at different times in your life, but this is accompanying these other feelings. This is another thing we get from watching or looking online. All we see are, we see news stories about the health benefits of sex. And if you don't have sex this much, this many times, then this is going to happen to you. I mean, I've seen these myself. And so I try to look and say, well, what are these studies? What are they saying that science says? What are we even talking about? And there really is no scientific evidence that someone who has sex every day is going to live longer than someone who doesn't have sex at all. So let's not go there, because it's all part of a good, fulfilling relationship, isn't it? So decreased energy or fatigue, feeling slow, like you're just slow. Everything's so slow. These are the things that people report, and they really do report them. And you don't have to have all of these. You don't concentrate. You have a hard time remembering. You're starting to wonder whether you're having dementia. And if you're too young to worry about that, you're probably wondering, okay, what's wrong with me? Maybe I have ADHD or ADD, or the anxiousness keeps welling up in your throat and your chest. Insomnia, that you either can't sleep, you can't fall asleep, or you wake up at like 2 a.m. and you can't get back to sleep and you just feel bad. Sometimes people describe this feeling of like something pounding in their chest, or just like a boom in their chest, and not so much a heart feeling, but almost like a surge of these, like just like it wakes them up and then they start feeling bad. It's been a few people have reported that. I've heard people say these things to me, as well as certainly read about them. You might oversleep. So some of these are the polar opposites. Perhaps instead of not sleeping enough, you can't sleep enough. You're sleeping and sleeping and sleeping and sleeping. Same with appetite. You lose your appetite, or conversely, you gain. Your appetite is so unceasing. You can't seem to eat enough, and certain foods will make you feel like crying. Other foods you just crave and crave and crave. Maybe sweets, carbohydrate craving. You might have thoughts of death or suicide, or suicide attempts. Now, this is when it's very serious. So if you or someone you know has these thoughts, you need to get help. You need to get help. This could be all part of the depressive picture. And it may follow. You might start thinking of all the sad things in your life. I've had elderly people say, you know, well, of course, everybody's gone, and things that make sense to you. But these pervasive feelings, or these thoughts of suicide or attempted suicide, or thoughts of planning suicide, or thoughts of death, these things can all be hallmarks, and you need help now if you have those things. So some of these physical symptoms too that you put up to, you go to get checked for all the time, you put up to just physical things, these fibromyalgia feelings. Not that these aren't real. Fibromyalgia is real, but sometimes these constant recurring digestive problems, headaches, chronic pain, they're real, and they're really pain. And when someone touches you, they're painful. And the worst thing anybody can say to you is, oh, they're all in your head. But realize that when you are in depression, your biochemistry is all askew. So your natural painkillers are on a low. So the natural things that you churn out every day, and your prostaglandin system, and all the different things that you churn out in order to keep homeostasis and balance, so you don't feel every little thing. These things are askew. And when they're askew, you can start succumbing to that pain. So here we don't have that much time, so we're going to have to carry this on. But let me tell you the different types. So when you have some of these symptoms, some or all these symptoms, you could be in a form that's called major depression. And that is something when it affects all aspects of your life. It's been going on for a few weeks, including relationships and work. And there's another kind. I'm going to do this real quickly because we only have a few minutes and we'll develop them tomorrow. There's another kind that is a variation of that called dysthymia. And this goes on for a bit of a longer time. And dysthymia means it is a less severe, but it's a much longer drawn out period of time. It just goes on and on and on. It's just kind of everything is just chronic and just low all the time. Then there's another kind, which is called an adjustment disorder with depressed mood. And that is usually when you're you're adjusting to some new facet of life, depression, a move, a loss, sometimes even because you want to be in a certain place. This happens a lot to people who move. They relocate, they get all excited, they're all excited and happy about finding these new places, and then they start realizing they start getting depressed. A change, especially the older you get, the change is very difficult, but it's very difficult for children too. May move away from a school, you move to a different area of the country. Anything that disorders your life a little bit can cause changes. It could be a marriage, it could be a baby, it could be anything. The good stress and bad stress that you can find. Now, here's another thing I want you to realize. In the sunny world and in the gloomy world, seasonal affective disorder is real. And we just don't get it because it doesn't make sense to us. It happens. It's occurring, and yet we don't pay attention to it, and we just find ourselves in these depressed moods. So sometimes it is a major depressive disorder, and it is a major depressive disorder, but it happens only during specific times of year. And it may not be always during those gloomy times. We don't know what the whole seasonal diurnal circadian pressure, the barometric pressure, all these things, the negative ions, that you find more of those at the seashore. You don't know what exactly, but there are ways to deal with it. They can be worked on. Also, bipolar depression, where you have periods of time and they don't have to be predictable. It can happen once a year, it can happen once a week, where you get these mood swings and lots of energy and happiness and you feel like you can conquer the world, and then boom, you're down in the dumps. We're going to run out of time, so we will also talk about postpartum depression. And that happens sometimes after the birth of a child. Maybe it doesn't happen with your first child, maybe it didn't happen with your third child, but it can happen. And it can be rather severe, and it can be also verging on the dangerous. And it has to do with these changes in your hormonal between estrogen, progesterone, and all the different changes that happens. And it can have a real fast onset. You just find yourself just thinking unusual thoughts for you. All these things are important. All these things need to be paid attention to. Everything I've mentioned. Now, the whole concept that I'll go back to the beginning of the simplicity and the prayer, these are all wonderful adjuncts to use. But if any of these particular things that I've just mentioned these last two segments seem to occur in your life and are occurring now or with someone you know or love, again, oftentimes others will see it before you do. So one, pay attention to those who you know have been trusted. But two, you may not be able to see the forest for the trees. If you can, get on the phone, get some help now. If you are just checking it out, check it out with a professional. There may be a physical reason for these feelings. And if you have a loved one who you see in this picture, help them. Help them. Get them on their way to help. All right, I am Dr. Michelle. We're going to carry this on tomorrow. You may email me DM live with specific questions, thoughts, or experiences. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.